Bibles and would like to look with us into the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. I'll read one verse of scripture there and then we'll go into other portions of the Word of God. But in Acts the 13th chapter, verse 36, the writer said, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on a sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Then I want to read a portion of scripture found in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Revelation 3, listen to it. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Then I'd like to read one other passage of Scripture. Psalms 145, verse 4. The Bible says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." I preached last night on "I Want to Live." Tonight my subject is simply this: we must keep it alive. We must keep it alive. The Bible said that David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on a sleep and was laid to rest among his fathers and saw corruption. We know, and every one of us know, that we are passing away. One generation cometh, and then it passeth, and another generation comes. I'd like to tell you tonight that I am not responsible for the past generation. I was not around at that time to preach the great truths of the Word of God. I wished I could tell you that I could leave behind me a track and some kind of a standard that the Bible teaches at least as good as what I inherited when I came into this way. Listen to me closely. Somebody told me a few years ago, said, "Brother Rich," said, "you are outdated. You would have been a great Brush Arbor preacher, but you are 40 years too late getting here. You just don't fit in with this type of worship that we have today, and you are outdated." Well, I cannot help that if I seem outdated. If you thought I ought to have been here 40 years earlier, I can't help that. It just so happens that I'm here in this day and this generation. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to serve my generation by the will of God and preach what I know is right and keep the faith of our fathers alive in the hearts of this generation that is to come. I believe that every generation is responsible to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to their own generation. We've taught culture. Amen. We've refined the mental faculties of men. We have advanced in many stages. But have we shouldered our responsibility in this generation to keep the faith of our fathers alive in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls? Listen, while I preach to you tonight, there is something about responsibility that I know something about. Somebody said, "I'd like to have the great opportunities that other men have." I want you to know, with every opportunity there comes responsibility. There is no opportunity ever open without responsibility. My son Leon, he's driving now, and he does a pretty good job. But I keep telling him, "Son, whenever you get behind that wheel, You are responsible for every passenger in that automobile. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to drive. And you may have somebody behind in the back seat saying, see how fast this thing will go. Well, see how fast you can turn that curve. But remember, if you run that thing into a ditch, they don't blame the fella sitting in the back seat. They blame the man that's behind the wheel. He is the one that is responsible. Please stay with me. I never will forget when I was called to preach my first camp meeting. I've preached many of them since then. But you know, a lot of folks say, oh, if I could just preach a camp meeting, what a wonderful privilege. I never will forget when I was asked to preach my first camp meeting, and I was all elated, and I was going around telling everybody, guess what? I get to preach a camp meeting. Don Rich is going to preach a camp meeting. I walked down on the campgrounds when the day finally arrived, feeling pretty good. And then that night, I got to looking around, and I saw all of those good preachers sitting there, men that had blazed the trail preaching the gospel, and it hit me, brother, it hit me ever so hard. I realized, brother, I was responsible to a certain extent in having camp meeting in that place. Please stay with me. I'm going to preach to you tonight. We are responsible in keeping this faith alive in our generation. Sure, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. And I am wondering tonight, has this generation done their part in keeping this faith alive? Brother Stone, I don't want to embarrass you because I know what you meant. But Brother Stone came to me today and we were visiting and talking with him and Sister Stone. And he said, Brother Rich said, holiness is not the same as it was 10 years ago. And I said, Brother Stone, it's just the same as it was 10 years ago. Out in our country, we had a man got up and testified. And he said, I'm glad I got into holiness before it got all poisoned up. I've got news for you, neighbor. Holiness is not poisoned up. It's just like it's been in every generation. And as a holiness preacher, I'm going to keep this faith alive in this generation and serve my generation by the will of God. In the book of 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, listen to it. Amen. Hezekiah was visited by the king of Babylon, and he showed the king of Babylon all of his treasures and all of the beauties that God had given them there in that land. And he showed them everything, and he hid nothing from their eyes. Here comes the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah. And he said, who were these men? And he said, that was the king from Babylon and their men. Said, what have they seen? He said, they've seen everything that we have here. I have not hid anything. They've seen every treasure that I have. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, he said, because you have showed all of these things, I want you to know the day will come when that king of Babylon will come back and he'll carry all of the treasures. Not only the treasures you've accumulated, but the treasures that your father has accumulated and the fathers before them. And they'll carry it all to Babylon. And your own sons that issued out of your loins, they'll take captive. And they'll put them as slaves down in the land of Babylon. And oh, can you imagine a man being as selfish as Hezekiah? Here's what he said. He said, the word of the Lord is good. I mean, it's good. What God is good said is good as long as there be peace in my days. What a selfish man. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if they take all of this away. It doesn't matter to me if they take my sons to be bondmen as long as there's peace in my day. Here's what Hezekiah was saying. So what if trouble comes after I'm gone, just long as I have a smooth road? But I want you to know that we've got a generation following us, and it's up to you and I to keep this faith alive in the hearts of each one of these young people that's coming up. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 12:41, he said the men of Nineveh would rise up and condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He said the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, if you please, would rise up in judgment and condemn this generation because she traveled from afar to behold the wisdom of of Solomon, and lo, a greater than Solomon is here. I tell you, this generation that we're looking at right now has heard more gospel. There's never been a generation that's been able to go from camp meeting to camp meeting, from revival to revival, hear preaching that we've been exposed to. Brother, if we don't keep this faith alive in the hearts of our children and in our grandchildren, we're going to stand before God and give an account in the day of judgment, and it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah as for us in this generation. Help me while I preach tonight. I'm preaching on we must keep it alive. Paul, he started speaking to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in thee also, Timothy. Amen. He's somebody kept it alive. And he said, now, Timothy, the things that you've heard of me of many witnesses, the same things you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What was he telling Timothy? You keep this thing alive from generation to generation. I want my children to know, amen, that old time holiness is right. I want them to know, brother, that the name of the Lord is still a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and they are saved. I want them to know, brother, that God has power over all other powers, and the holiness faith is the right faith. We've had so many things introduced to us in this generation that has left our children confused. Never before have we had. Our generation has seen something that we've never seen before. When I got saved, and please don't fall out with me, but when I got saved and started living for the Lord, and that hasn't been all that long ago, but when I was a boy growing up, it didn't matter whether you went to the Assembly of God, Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness, Free Holiness. It didn't matter where you went. You was going to hear some holiness preaching. You was going to hear the preacher preach against the world and the things of the world. Wasn't nowhere to run. Amen. Here we have the Pentecostal Holiness, amen, preaching sanctification. The Church of God preaching sanctification. Assembly of God preaching separation. We had the Free Holiness preaching, which was an admixture, sort of all of them, amen, preaching holiness and separation. But now we've got a new kind of doctrine. Somebody knocked out a hole over in the side of the old ship of Zion and has let a new generation come on. Amen. The ladies can clip their hair off, wear their ear bobs, amen, dye their hair, amen, put on their breeches and paint up and look like bullfighters out of old Mexico and say we've got the Holy Ghost prophesying and speaking in other tongues. But I want you to know, brother, that it's still a separated way. If you do not bear your cross, you cannot wear the crown. And it's up to you and I to keep this faith alive in the hearts of this generation. I want my son to come up here with me. Almost, well, 17 years old. And he's not grown yet, just thinks he is. You know how that goes. Remember when I was back that age. But I want my son to know that the gospel that daddy preaches is the right way. Amen. I want to serve this generation. And I want him to tell, sure, I'm looking for Jesus to come in our generation, but he might not. This boy may have married. He may have children. Amen. And who knows? They may have children. Joshua said to the children of Israel, when they come across, amen, the old Jordan River, God said, get you some stones out of the middle of that Jordan. Pile them up here for a memorial. Amen. What for, God? It shall be when your children shall ask in time to come, what meaneth these stones? Then shall you tell them, amen, that this was a day when God dried up the waters. And tell them to tell their children and to tell another generation. Son, I want you, if God allows you to marry and have children, I want you to keep this faith alive and tell him my old daddy, amen, and preached out in them camp meetings and in them brush arbors. And sinners came and wept at the altar, and the Holy Ghost fell and spoke in other tongues. Amen. And run the aisles, and they had the power of God. I say, brother, let's keep this thing alive. Woo! We must keep it alive. It's dying on us. The church in Sardis had reached a point. They had a name. Stay up here, son. They had a name that they lived, but they were dead. Woo! Oh, yeah, I'm holiness. And we throw a lot of, lots of times, we as free holiness people, I think we're worse than any denomination for criticizing others. And I am a free holiness preacher. But we criticize and we say, look how they used to have the power, and look, they don't have the power anymore. Well, what about us? Hey, we used to could pray the prayer of faith for the sick. Amen. We used to could get a hold of God and move the heavenly world. But look at us tonight. We still got the name, but we're dead. And God told him, said, you strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Keep this thing alive. Don't let it die out. My God, if there's ever been a time we need to shoulder the responsibility of keeping this faith alive, it's in this hour. Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, please don't fall out with me. But if there's not more holiness preached in this generation, the next generation will not know what holiness is. If some of you good saints don't get a hold of God and show some manifestations of the Holy Ghost power, the next generation will not know what it is to have the moving of the Holy Ghost in our midst. I'm preaching tonight, brother. We must keep this thing alive. Son, I want you to know tonight, amen, that this thing is real. Amen. The only reason you're cold tonight, it's because of daddy and mama's faith. The only reason you're here in this camp meeting, it's because of the faith that your mom and daddy has had. And the only reason I'm here tonight is because I had an old grandpa and a grandmother who were holiness people who lived a sanctified, separated, holy life. I tell you tonight, son, if daddy drops off the scene of action and why before this camp meeting comes to a close, promise me from your heart you'll keep this faith alive and tell another generation that the power of the Holy Ghost is real and that the blood of Jesus Christ really cleanses from sin. Whew. Well, I feel like preaching it tonight. My Lord, we must keep it alive. I don't want to have the attitude Hezekiah had. So what if my son loses out? So what if those two little red-headed grandsons of mine, if they go to hell, just long as I have peace in my day? Oh, brother, I can see farther than that. Somebody's got to keep it alive. And this generation, please, older folks, don't fall out with me. But they're inheriting the church in the worst condition the church has been in a long time. I wish we could leave them a better church. Don't you? I wish we could leave them a better church that was strengthened in the power of God. But oh, we're leaving them a church that's lying in reproach. We're leaving them a church that's weak. It's about like it was when Josiah took over the kingdom. He was just 8 years old when he began to reign. And the people had turned to idols and turned to other gods. But when Josiah had reigned 8 years, the Bible said he began to seek the Lord of heaven. Oh, yes, he did. And when he was 21 years old, you know what he did? Amen. He began to cleanse the temple and purge the house of God. And God sent a revival. Son, I'm telling you, you get in the church in bad shape, but there's still a God in heaven. If you'll seek His face and call on Him, He will answer your prayer, and the church can be cleansed, and the things that are ready to die can be strengthened, and this faith can be kept alive. I was preaching a revival in Pasadena, California. Pastor came to me and said, "Brother Rich, we've got a sister that attends this church. Since she has a terminal illness. They had her up there in the hospital." Stay right there, son. "They had her up there in the hospital. And finally they said, there's nothing more we can do for her. And they put her in a rest home." The preacher said, "She has no known relatives whatsoever." And said, "The only friends she has is just the folks in the church. Would you mind going and visiting her while you're here?" And I said, "Sure, I'll go during the day." And I got my things ready and got out a couple good psalms and rehearsed them so I could have something encouraging to tell her. Walked into that room in that rest home, and I saw a little woman dying, her skin stretched over her bones. And I began to talk to her, and she said, "Oh, you're the preacher that's preaching a revival at the church." I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Would you do something for me?" I said, "I will if I can, ma'am." Said, "Would you tell them everywhere you go that the blood of Jesus really cleanses from sin?" Here she was dying, but she wanted to keep this faith alive. Oh, my Lord, I'll tell you, brother, we've got a responsibility. Amen, son. Amen, I wish the rest of my children was here. Tanya, come on up here. Amen, Tanya's 10 years old, maybe a little bit young. But I want her to know, amen, that what we feel in these meetings is not just something that you work up. Amen, it's a real power and a real spiritual blessing that comes from on high. I want them to know, even though there's counterfeits among us, and there are those, amen, that's fussed and quarreled and fought and split and split and split the split. Amen. I want them to know there's still a God of heaven that hears and answers prayer. Amen. And not everything about the holiness people is right. Amen. We've got our faults. We've got our failures. Brother, we're living in a treacherous hour. Amen. When men are splitting. Amen. The churches seem to be falling apart. Amen. Good men that claim to be holiness men have reached a point now they can't even pray at the same altars. I'm telling you, this generation is inheriting a church that's in a terrible shape. But son, I want you to know that that's not God's fault. It's the people have rebelled against God. But if the people will return to God... them, God will visit once again with His power, with His Holy Ghost, with the joy of the Lord, and we will feel once again the presence of God. Well, Sister Rich, you might as well come on up here too. Hallelujah. We've got a responsibility. You know what I'm doing down here in Alabama? I've got a nice home over there. I've got an air-conditioned home. And I could be preaching right there around home right now. Brother Neil, you know that's right. And others know that's right. But the reason I'm here, I'm trying to keep this thing alive. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. I look back over the young people that we have in this congregation. That young man that prayed last night, would you stand up for just a moment right here? Him and son, let me tell you, that old time conviction that you felt grip your heart last night that made you want to come to this altar and pray, amen, that come from God. Amen. And if the Lord doesn't come and the day comes when you have a son, you tell your son, "I was sitting in an old camp meeting, old sawdust on the floor, an old tin roof, and there was a preacher out of Oklahoma preaching about the love of God and the things of God, and something got a hold of my heart and convicted me of the life that I was living." I say, brother, let's keep this thing alive in the hearts of this generation. Some time ago, we had some problems. My daughter had a serious accident. I'll not go into all of it. We thought we had insurance on her and on different things, and come to find out we did not have. And they really put it to me. Whenever they picked up my daughter, charged almost $300 just send an ambulance out after. And that was just the minor start of the hospital bill. And they had to do x-rays of her brains and so forth. And that bill kept climbing. that reached a point, amen, it drained us of all of our resources, but I never did feel like it would be right to come down and tell you folks how you ought to live if somebody was looking for me and wondering when I was going to pay them. Come on and say amen. And so, I was getting ready to leave to come down in the state of Georgia, I believe it was, and we had an obligation that needed to be met before I could leave. And it was going to take several hundred dollars to meet that obligation. Sister Rich was aware of it. We hadn't said a word to our children. There we were. Days were passing. Time was getting up close to me to leave. I didn't know what to do, whether to call the folks and tell them I couldn't come and go to work and try to make the money or what. And at 3:00 one morning, 2 days before I was supposed to leave, I heard Sister Rich in the living room knelt down at the couch, and she was praying about that need. I got up, my conscience smote me for not praying. I got up and went in beside of her, and we began to pray together, Brother Johnson. And as we prayed, God gave both of us the assurance that everything was going to be all right. I didn't know how, but God knows how. The next day rolled around. I'd been real busy and trying to get ready to go. The day before I was supposed to leave came. 4:00 in the afternoon, I just got home. I'll lay down and rest a little while. I was supposed to leave at 4 in the morning. I'll lay down and rest a little while and try to get a little rest. And I just laid down and the phone rang, and it was a man who was of a denominational faith. A man that did not even go to a holiness church. And he said, "Brother Rich, you remember me?" And I said, "Yes, I remember you, Sherman. I remember you." And he said, "I need to talk to you about something. Could you meet me at the restaurant over here, Norman?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm real tired. I'm getting ready to leave at 4:00 in the morning. And if it's not real important, I'll talk to you about it when I get back. But if it's important, I'll come on in." He said, "It's important. Come on." And so he told me where the restaurant was. I drove in there, got out, went in, and he was sitting there drinking something. I sat down, ordered up a cold drink, and I was sitting there, and we was talking, and I kept waiting on him to tell me his problem, and waiting on him to tell me his problem. He kept talking. I thought, "Well, why don't he hurry up and tell me his problem so I can get back over there and get some rest." I thought maybe he's having family problems. Pretty soon he stood up, and he reached in his pocket. He took out 1,000 American dollars, laid it over on the table, said, "I don't know why, but something said for me to give you that. See you later." Walked out of the door, and just a few days later, the same man gave me another $500. My needs were met. "Son, I want you to tell the next generation that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Brother, we've got to keep this faith alive. We've got to keep men and women aware of the fact that there's a God in heaven that still hears and answers prayer. Oh, can you feel what I'm feeling in this place tonight? I say, brother, let's keep this thing alive in the hearts of our children. Be like the old boy they told about out there in California, Brother Ronnie. He was trying to preach out on the street. And I like this. Amen's trying to preach out there on the street, Brother Fred. And every time folks would come along, you can be seated if you like. Every time folks would come along, amen, he'd try to read a text. And they'd stop for a minute, and as soon as they saw what he was doing, they'd just move on and wouldn't listen to him. And he tried to read a text 3 or 4 times. And the folks just kept walking on, passing him by. After a while, he come up with an idea. Amen, he got the old black back Bible. Amen. He put it down on the ground, on the blacktop there. Took his old hat and threw over the top of his Bible. And he started walking around and around crying with a loud voice, "It's alive! It's alive, folks! It's alive! It's alive!" Folks started running, amen, to see what was alive under that hat. When they got there, he picked up that old hat, took up the Bible, and preached where Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I'd like to tell you, it's still alive. And I want to do my part to keep this thing alive in the hearts of our children and in the hearts of our youth." I'm telling you, it's alive tonight. Whew. Oh. Who, as we visited old Brother Emory Long today and prayed for him there. I wish you could hear this message tonight. Who among us will promise Brother Emory Long that you'll keep the faith that he preached alive in the hearts of this generation? Do we see any hands? Amen. Is this his grandson here? Come here, son. I'm going to tell you something. You got some shoes to fill. It's too big for you. I'm going to tell you the truth. But you can do your part in serving your generation by the will of God. As I knelt there by the bed, and several preachers was there as we knelt there by the bed, I didn't realize that man was such a big man, even physically. Even as he stretched out there, went from one end of that bed to the other. And I thought, my, he's a big man. It seemed like something spoke to me and said he's a much bigger man than what you see laying there on the bed. Oh, amen, son. Promise me tonight you'll keep this thing alive. Amen, in the hearts of your generation. Promise me tonight that you'll shoulder the responsibility and keep this thing alive. I'll tell you, brother, the Bible said, what's the scripture, Brother Fred, help me with it. Amen, concerning faith. Amen, holding faith in a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, hath made shipwreck. If we don't keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints, amen, the old ship is going to wreck on the rocks of time. Oh yes, I'd like to tell you, son, and please don't be offended at me, but brother, it's not an easy cruise here on this old ship of Zion. This is not a Caribbean cruise. If you want to socialize, get you a ticket and go down on the Caribbean. This is the old ship of Zion. She's sailing bloody seas tonight. The devil has every stormy Scott pitched against her. Amen. It requires every man at his post of duty and at the helm. Amen. It's not just a cruise where you can socialize, brother. Amen. We're sailing the bloody seas of time. But if we'll stay true to our post of duty, there'll be a day when the old ship of Zion is going to pull into harbor and the gangplank's going to be let down. And I'll say, let's keep this faith alive that our children can have something to live by. Amen. I've been up in Jersey several times, and a lot of folks up there mean a lot to me. There's one young lady here tonight. Amen. Sister Leanne, come here a minute. I want to talk to you. Amen. I know this lady, young lady, well enough that she's not going to get upset at me. Amen. I want you to look her over. Here's a young lady God's Spirit's upon. Amen. Won't you look at the way she's dressed? Amen. I've been around her enough. I know her faith in God. I know her conduct. I know a lot about this young lady. I've got a lot of confidence in her. Amen. How many? Look, she's dressed in very modest attire. She doesn't. Somebody say, if I dress like that, look how slouchy I look. Won't you look? Amen. Nobody dressed any better than that young lady. Amen. That's an apparel you go anywhere and not be ashamed of. In the finest restaurant in town, you can walk in there like that. How many other young ladies will join with Sister Leanne and say, I'll help keep this faith alive in this generation? Could I see your hand? Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Sandra, come up here with me tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching that David, after he served his own generation, brother, he served it. His own generation. I've got to leave something behind for these girls. Look at them. Look at them here. Amen. Somebody said, well, what about old time holiness? I ask you this question. Did they dress any better than this in old time holiness? I want them to know the same spirit they feel in their hearts was the same spirit they felt back 50 or 75 years ago. Oh, you're looking at me like you think I'm off my rocker. But I'm just telling you something. Somebody's got to keep this thing alive. Amen, Sister Sandra. Amen. We're going to do our part, aren't we? In keeping this alive in the hearts of this generation. Let me tell you something. Girls, and boys. Some of you want to pattern your life after these worldly entertainers. Amen. But they soon die off. Look at them. How many's took their own lives? How many's went by the way of tragedy? Amen. If you're going to pattern your life after anybody, pattern it after somebody that knows God in the beauty of holiness. Amen. This would be a good time to preach a little holiness right here. Amen. Let me tell you something. Amen. I do not believe in fanaticism. Amen. I know we've got those, amen, even among us, amen, that they're just so fanatical. Amen. None of them can get along with each other. Amen. They've cut everybody out. Amen. Just a few, and they keep cutting a few more out. And there's not anybody there, hardly left. And the ones that are there, fussing and fighting and feuding, and the Spirit of God is not within 1,000 miles as far as blessing the church is concerned. Come on now, help me. But there is a dress that becometh holiness. Now we've got preachers that would preach to you that these young girls should have their hair done up in a ball. I never did read that in the Scripture. I'm not against it now. You want to do yours that way? Wonderful. But there's no Bible for that. Show it to me. It's not in that book. Let's let our young ladies serve their generation as long as they're touching God. As long as we can't put our finger on their lives and their mode of dress, let them serve their generation by the will of God. Oh, I feel like this is needful. Say, yeah, Brother Richard, you're pretty popular, but you keep preaching like that, you're not going to be popular any longer. All I've got to do is just make it to the end of my generation. Amen. Then I'll fulfill my part of it. I'm telling you, brother. Amen. Whenever these Jezebels come in, their hair bobbed off and into the shame. Amen. The girls is getting theirs cut off, look like the boys, and the boys getting theirs fluffed up and permanents put in them, kind of look like the girls. That's not the faith I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm talking about the power that fell on the day of Pentecost. Brother, that's the faith we want to keep alive in the hearts of this generation. Look at the things that need to be strengthened tonight that are dying. That are dying. I'll tell you, one of those things is brotherly love. Come on now. Come on now. If you don't fit the same pattern my little cookie cutter cuts, you're just not holiness. I want you to know you're not the one that designed the cookie cutter. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll tell you where I want to live. Amen. I used to, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm going to tell it like it is, because I'm that kind of preacher. But I used to go around the camp meetings, I was scared to death that I'd do something, amen, that would offend somebody, not offend them, but cause them to say, well, maybe he's not living quite so straight. Maybe he's not living quite so holy. And I just walking on pins and needles, trying to stay on that little line that's about the size of a hair, amen, not trying to offend anybody. I found out what you've got to do. I'm glad God opened my eyes. God told me, he said, you serve your own generation. You use the gifts I've given you. Amen. Use the anointing I've given you. Stay in touch with me and stay plugged into the Holy Ghost and serve your own generation by the will of God. God didn't call me to try to please every man in this camp meeting. He called me to serve my generation by the will of God and to declare the truth and the whole counsel of God. Let me hurry and close this message. You girls can be seated. Thank you so much. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on asleep. You'll have to look at Brother Rich tonight to know what I'm telling you. But I used to, if you wanted me to preach once, I could preach once. If you want me to preach twice in a day, I could preach twice. If you want me to preach 3 times, that's wonderful. And if you want me to preach 4 times, I have preached as high as 6 times. Just like I'm preaching right now. Felt wonderful. But now when I get through preaching, like I'm preaching tonight, I'm totally exhausted. Somebody has got to keep this thing alive. Brother Neil Bridges, you're losing a little weight around the face, but you also got some other marks that's showing up with you too. Somebody's got to keep this faith alive in this generation. Oh, holiness is right. Brother Campbell preached to us about the rules for holy living. I don't mind telling you, I sanction the message 100%. It was a gospel message, and it come from God and God's holy word. Amen. It was a wonderful message. But now, don't you have a boy that's preaching now, Brother Campbell? Is he keeping the same faith alive? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my Lord. I'm trying to, Fred. I'm preaching about, amen, one generation shall rise up and praise thee to another generation. Amen. This generation here must tell another generation. Say, well, I thought Brother Richard the Lord was coming. Yes, I'm looking for him. I don't know when he's coming. And you don't know when he's coming. We're looking for him. But don't forget, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And if the Lord doesn't come in our generation, let's keep this faith alive in the hearts of the next generation. In closing tonight, there's one or two more points I want to bring out, and then we're closing the message. But do you remember in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible said after the Holy Ghost fell, that these men continued steadfastly in the faith. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the faith. And let me say this before I go any farther. Amen. As a preacher, I have this responsibility to continue steadfast in the faith. Furthermore, amen, it is my purpose to continue steadfast in the faith. And furthermore, I want my children, amen, to continue in this faith. And those little red-headed grandboys of mine, amen, probably for red-headed, don't tell how mean they'll be. But I want them to know that the God that Grandpa preached about will heal the sick. Amen. Will meet the needs. When I shout, I wasn't just putting on, brother. Amen. I was feeling something from the glory world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, we are responsible to this generation to bear one another's burdens. We are responsible to strengthen those that are weak. And we are responsible to strengthen those that are dying. And over there in that dying church in Sardis, there was somebody there that was still keeping it alive. For he said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I'll admit the charismatics have cut a big swath through our country. And the loose livers and them lying devils on the radio and televisions have cut a big swath, amen, in hindering the faith of God. But I believe there's still a few names, amen, down here that have not defiled their garments. And they're going to walk with him in white, for they are worthy. Oh, let's keep it alive. Young people, let's keep this thing alive. Young boy, let's keep this thing alive in the hearts of our children and our children's children. I'm so glad to see that 14-year-old boy preach. And you say, well, it really bothered me when he got to preaching against the ball games and skating rinks. It didn't me. It blessed my soul. Somebody's going to keep this thing alive in this generation. How many feels your responsibility tonight? Oh, it's such a weight on my shoulders. I feel the pressure of it. I'm afraid my children are not grasping the fullness of it. We take them to church. They've been to church day after day after day after day after day. I preached 99 nights in a row. Never missed a night. Took my children with me every night. Usually that length of time, the Holy Ghost or something will move. Preached 99 nights. Never missed a night. And I'm afraid I don't want my children to reach the point where they think this is just another service. Amen. And another message. But I want them to have this faith in their hearts. Oh, I want them to know that the thing that made Daddy what he was, even was not some kind of a drama boy. I am not a drama boy. I do not believe in dramatics. Amen. I want them to know that this faith dwells in my heart. They've seen God. My children have seen God raise them up, some of them up off the deathbed. Keep that faith alive in their hearts. They have seen God provide when there seemed to be no way. They've seen the Lord. This may be a small thing, and some of you are going to laugh. But we pulled into a place one time to hold a revival. Never had been there before. Went to get out our clothes, and those things looked like they'd been dipped in the river. And just Sister Rich got out the iron. We was new. Never didn't know nobody there. Didn't even know the pastor. And Sister Rich got the irons, go iron our clothes, and that iron wouldn't work, wouldn't heat up. Now I say you're getting way over there now. Wouldn't heat up, wouldn't do nothing. I tried to fool with it a little bit, still couldn't get it to work. She said, honey, it's getting close. Said, we're going to have to hurry. We're going to be late. Said, I just can't go like this. Others said, we can't go like this. I thought, well, I'm going to go one way or another. Had to put on a shirt and look like it's been, amen, run over by a freight train. I'm going to go on to church. But I just reached over and I started praying for that iron. God is my witness. Plugged that thing in, started making that little noise like a heating element does. Started heating up. And that thing, we ironed with it all during that revival. Sister Rich ironed with it every time. She knows I'm telling the truth, and God is my witness, she ironed with it every day. We didn't mention that to nobody in that church. On the last night of the revival, they had an appreciation for us, gave me some handkerchiefs, and gave Sister Rich a new iron. We went home, she tried to get the old iron to work again. It wouldn't work another time because she had a new one, and it didn't need to work anymore. I'm trying to tell you, brother, amen, we've got to keep this thing alive in the hearts of this generation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand tonight and praise Him. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord God and I change not. We must keep it alive. Oh, glory be to God. We must keep this faith alive in the hearts of our children, in our youth. Oh, what's going to happen when the older men like Brother Long die on out? Now there's Brother John David, I think an outstanding preacher. Amen. But brother, can you truthfully say that you've got the faith? What's Brother Emery to you, uncle? Have you got the faith that he had? Oh, it's a responsibility in it that'll shake you. Amen. He's known around this area. And not only this area, but you can't hardly go anywhere in the holiness ranks. You know, I hadn't heard of Brother Long down here. I'm telling you, we've got to keep it alive. I believe that's what my brother meant when he called me aside one time, Fred. And he said, son, y'all usually calls me Samson or Slick. But anyhow, I said, put your hand right here on my side. And I said, what do you want, Bill? I said, just put your hand right here on my bosom. I put my hand there. He said, promise me something. He said, I'm not planning on backsliding. I'm not planning on ever going back on God. But promise me one thing. If I ever turn to a false doctrine, if I ever turn back on God, promise me from your heart, you'll keep on preaching, that you'll never turn back. Promise me from your heart that you'll keep on telling the way that you're telling. Holiness is right. Preaching the blood of Jesus, the virgin birth. All of these doctrines, promise me that from your heart. I believe He's wanting me to keep that faith alive in the hearts of the people. We must keep it alive. I want every young person, I'm going to do it different tonight. If saved or unsaved. If you're unsaved, you're still welcome. I want every young person that believes that what Brother Rich preached to you is your responsibility. I want you to start making your way down to this altar. Amen. Down to this front. If you feel like that you need to do something about your life in keeping this faith alive and serving your generation. It won't be long till they won't be calling Brother Rich anymore. I'm smart enough to know that. Amen. Won't be long, brother, until somebody else will be preaching these camp meetings. It won't be long until my strength will be gone and Brother Neal's and others that preach these meetings. Somebody's got to keep this faith alive. Oh, young people, join them. I won't ever want of you to join them. Look at this. Maybe don't touch your heart. But look at the kind of church we're leaving them. A church that's almost powerless. A church where many things have infiltrated. A church where holiness, amen, in many areas is almost a thing of the past. But here's a group of young people that's saying to me, Brother Rich, I want to keep it alive in my generation. I appreciate that. Oh, how many of you young boys will raise your hand? Say, Brother Rich, I promise you that I'll stay true to Jesus. I'll dress good. I'll keep my hair cut up off my ears, off my collar, and live a good, holy, sanctified life. Let's see your hand. If that's your intentions, you want to keep this faith alive. Let's see your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, Brother Neil, we've got something to strengthen tonight. We need to preach and strengthen our youth. Brother Fred Wiley, if nothing else happens in this camp meeting, if we can strengthen these young people to keep this thing alive in their generation, we've accomplished something in this camp meeting. And now I'm going to tell you something before we all come in and pray with them that you might know, not know. But some of our old-time saints who've done went on, who come through in flying colors, is if they were faced with the things that this generation is faced with, might not come through quite so well. For I believe that Revelation is that the 12th chapter is being fulfilled. Woe to you inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for Satan hath come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Oh, look at these young people. For most part, all of these young ladies, even no makeup on. I want you to know, Brother Rich appreciates that. I'm for you. I want you to know.